Translation. It does not matter whether one is a man or woman, anyone who, with great respect, hears this narration of Maharaj Prithu will become the father of many children if he is without children, and will become the richest of men if he is without money. Translation, please repeat. It does not matter whether one is a man or a woman.
It does not matter whether one is a man or a woman.
Anyone who, with great respect,
anyone who, with great respect,
hears this narration of Maharaj Prithu,
hears this narration of Maharaj Prithu,
will become the father of many children,
will become the father of many children,
if he is without children,
if he is without children,
and will become the richest of men,
and will become the richest of men,
if he is without money,
if he is without money.
Purport: materialistic persons who are very fond of money and great families worship different demigods to attain their desires, especially the goddess Durga, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma. Such materialistic persons are called Sri Aishwarya Pradyekshava. Sri means beauty, Aishwarya means riches, Praja means children, and Ipshava means desiring. As described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to worship various demigods for different types of benedictions. However, here it is indicated that simply by hearing of the life and character of Maharaj Prithu, one can have both riches and children in enormous quantities. One simply has to read and understand the history, the life and activities of Prithu Maharaj. It is advised that one read them at least three times. Now, those who are materially afflicted will so benefit by hearing of the Supreme Lord and his devotees that they need not go to any demigod. The word suprajatama, surrounded by many children, is very significant in this verse. For one may have many children but may not have any qualified children. Here, however, it is stated suprajatama, that all the children thus attained would be qualified in education, wealth, beauty and strength, everything complete. Tri kripa idam arakanya naro narya tavadvita apraja supraja tamo nirdano dhanavatama. Translation. Does not matter whether one is a man or woman, anyone who, with great respect, hears this narration of Maharaj Prithu will become the father of many children if he is without children, and will become the richest of men if he is without money. So this section, Maharaj Prithu is going back home, is very instructive. And yesterday's verse also, there was a Maitreya Muni mention that if one hears the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj as a Brahmana, he will become more qualified and so on. Chakra will become more qualified. Vaishya, Tundra. Here it is said that whether man or woman, if one with great respect hears the narration of Maharaj Prithu, will become the father of many children, without children, or become the richest of men if he is without money. So, certainly. Now, Prabhupada makes a point here of, and he emphasizes that, why go to any demigod? and he mentions in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, I had a look at that yesterday, and there's mentioned there, and in other parts of the Bhagavatam, but there in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, there's mentioned it, that generally people, they worship the demigods to attain certain results. For example, in that section of the Bhagavatam, there was mentioned if one wants to become Brahman realized, one need only to worship Brihaspati, or Lord Brahma. Or if one wants to have good progeny, then he worships the Prajapatis. If one wants wealth, he worships Mother Durga. One wants health, Ashwini Kumaras. One wants a strong body, worship the earth, and so on. Beauty, worship the Gandharas. One wants a good wife, worship the Apsaras. One wants a good marriage, worship Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. One wants power, worship Lord Shiva. And one wants education, worship Lord Shiva. Now these demigods can give other things besides one thing. But there was a very instructive section there in the Bhagavatam about worshipping the demigods for a particular result. And Prabhupada mentions that even great asuras, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, worship devas. But for example, he says that Lord Shiva, Ravana, worshipped Lord Shiva with severed heads. And now, I was just reading in the Ramayana, traveling around, and a lot of time to read while we're driving. So I've been reading in the Ramayana that in the beginning of, early on in Ravana's life, he was traveling around, he conquered Kuvera and attained his Pushpaka chariot that could just go throughout the universe, just being directed by one's thoughts. He would just, I noted that, just by one's thoughts it would go there. I think these days they're trying to come to that level. I remember reading an article where they had their pilots these days in America, at least, they have these helmets that they, isn't it? They have these helmets. How does it work? They have the helmets, and then by just looking over there or looking through the visor, you can direct a missile over here. That's got nothing on the chariot of the Kuvera. So they're very proud of their technological achievements these days, but millions of years ago, Ravana took hold of Kuvera's chariot that could just fly anywhere through the universe. Anywhere in the universe. What to speak of just flying around the planet. It could go anywhere in the universe, and just by a thought you could direct it to go here. And then, of course, there are some beings that don't even need a chariot. The Siddhas can just float in the sky, the Kumaras can float in the sky. Kumaras came before Maharishi, they just appeared there. Narad Muni can just be in the sky. And there was one story of Narad Muni just appearing, flying through the sky without a chariot in front of Ravana. Anyway, Ravana was going to the conquering of the demigods were afraid of him, and most of them ran and hid. But he went right to the north and went to approach the area of Kailash, where Lord Shiva resides. And he was, as he approached, he was stopped by Nandi, the servant of Lord Shiva. You can't, no human, no one can come here, not human, no one can come to pass this point. This is the place of Lord Shiva. And of course Ravana, he just scoffed and laughed. Who is this Lord Shiva? Who is he to stop me? And he mentioned Ravana with his 10 heads, he had 20 arms. And he thought, I'll see about this Lord Shiva. And with his 20 arms, he dug them into Mount Meru there, or the Kailash area, and shook the whole mountain. And put his arms right in. I'll teach Lord Shiva a lesson. Shook them. Uma was sitting in her seat, the wife of Lord Shiva, and she fell out of the seat. She was very surprised, what's going on? Lord Shiva, he stood up and said, this is just the vain Ravana showing off his power. So, anyway, Lord Shiva, don't worry, I'll take care of him. And he just pressed down with his toe. Mount Meru, pressed down, and then the story goes that Ravana was going, and then he got stuck like this. And interestingly, Lord Shiva pressed down, and he had him stuck for 100 years. He wouldn't let him go, and he was crying out, and Ravana was crying out in pain, and all the rakshasas were around him. And finally, after some time, even I was just reading the story, Ravana was crying out, Lord, please forgive me, Lord Shiva wouldn't listen. He just kept the pressure on for 100 years. and finally appeared before him and released him. Don't be so rash again, the offer. Later on, of course, Ravana, Prabhupada tells the story of him worshipping him. He had a newfound respect for Lord Shiva after that. So he worshipped him. But, you know, being Asura and Rakshasa that he was, well, he came from a Brahmin, in the Brahmin line, but he was like a Rakshasa. But anyway, the Asura that he was, he worshipped him with severed heads, Prabhupada says, and pleased him. And Lord Shiva gave him great power. Previously, Lord Shiva had given him his powerful weapon, Pashupati, I think. He gave him a weapon. And later on, Ravana defeated the Yamadutas in the Yamaloka with that weapon. So Ravana worshipped Lord Shiva for that. Ravana also worshipped Lord Brahma. He worshipped Lord Brahma, he worshipped Lord Shiva. For Lord Brahma, he worshipped that he wouldn't be defeated by any deva or asura of the netherworld. He didn't worry about humans or animals because he didn't think them to be significant enough for him to even ask for that benediction. So later on, we know that it was Lord Rama in the form of the human and the warriors, the monkey warriors, who defeated Ravana and all these Rakshasas. But the Prabhupada gives the example of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana worshipping the devas, and so many worshipping the devas to get certain results. But then later on in that section of the Bhagavatam, as here, there is a description that, well, you can worship the devas for these things, but actually the devas themselves get their powers from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can get anything the devas can give you, plus much, much more. Earlier on in this chapter, when Prithu Maharaj left his body and had burnt in a great fire, and then Archie, his wife, entered the fire. She prepared the funeral pyre. She entered the fire. All the celestial ladies were praising her and were looking down at the body of Prithu Maharaj and the body of Archie, his queen, and seeing bodies burning, but simultaneously seeing that they were rising up and going past them in their spiritual forms. I think it was mentioned at Pushpa Vimana, Vaikuntha Vimana. A Vaikuntha Vimana, a chariot from the Vaikuntha came. It is said that when one goes to the heavenly planets, quite often the Pushpa Vimana, a chariot from the heavenly planets, comes to take you to the heavenly planets. But with Prithu Maharaj and his wife, a Vaikuntha Vimana came from the Vaikuntha. It came and took them, and they passed, and the ladies of the heavenly planets saw them rising up and passing them, going up higher and higher to higher regions. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is a good description of who was that? Gopakumar, when he was traveling up to the different planet systems and going, and there's a good description of it there. The Gandhava Loka, the heavenly planets, and then above them, the Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, all the residents. So there are many residents above heaven, and then finally the Brahmaloka, where Lord Brahma lives. So the ladies, they were in the heavenly planet, so they were looking down at the bodies being burnt simultaneously. They could see them rising up. So they could understand that they are getting much more than we have got. We are here in the heavenly planets. We're looking down at their bodies on earth, but they've got risen up in their spiritual forms, past us. Past the topmost planets, past Brahma, goes to the Vaikuntha. So they can understand, to worship the Supreme Person. Now, Prithu Maharaj is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. He's Shakti Vishamata, but he is a devotee, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. So that he was getting much more. But not only at the end of his life, during his life on earth, and this is the point it's made, during his life on earth, he had everything that was that he could ever want and desire. as far as material facility. Of course, he was a devotee, so he used all that material facility in Krishna's service. And as mentioned, he had never had a thought for any other type of sense gratification. So devotees, we get sense gratification, not in the materialistic sense, well, hopefully not in the materialistic sense. We're aiming for that. But we get sense gratification. I mean, we eat, we sleep, we live in a nice, I mean, you know, here we are at Radha Desh Palace. I mean, you know, I went for a japa walk this morning. People around here don't live in places like this. Oh, yeah, I saw some nice houses there, but they don't live in big palaces like a palace. And I just came from Prabhupada Desh, they put me in a very nice room, and I was thinking, Adi Purush was in another nice room, and I was thinking, this room is so nice. That, and I told her, what's his name, President? Guruchan. I told Guruchan, is your facility all right, Maharaj? I said, yes, thank you very much. It's quite nice. I said, this is better than living in a 5-star hotel in this room. I said, just like me, bathroom, sitting, everything. So, I mean, of course, you know, you go to another place and you don't have so much facility. I'm also at UBC for Indonesia, where in some places, you have a very little room. But of course, the devotees look after you very nicely, and wonderful prasadam comes. We have lived nicely. We have nice prasadam. I've never seen a devotee starving for want of food or anything like that. That's the least of our worries. to be able to eat nice. But many people in the world, of course, to get something to eat, something to drink. But Krishna provides all these things for us, so we don't need to worry about that. And in fact, I remember reading this recently in the Prabhupada conversation book, where Prabhupada was speaking before we were more talking. We devotees, he said, don't worry about anything like that. Krishna takes care of it. But of course, when we're not fully pure, we worry about those things. But actually, we shouldn't worry, because if you just wholeheartedly engage in devotional, so Krishna will look after you. And of course, being a devotee, whatever Krishna gives you, you'll be satisfied. So that's the other part. And there is a difference between what we need and perhaps material desires. But Krishna will fulfill your desires, all that you need on material. And in one section of the Bhagavad Gita, I remember reading that Krishna will fulfill your desires more than even you want them to be fulfilled. Krishna can give you the world. But at the same time, he is very mindful. He is very mindful that you're a devotee and the ultimate goal is to go back home, back to God. So if along the way there is some material facility that somehow or other it is causing you, or you have become affected by it in such a way that you are going from the path of devotional service, then in his own time Krishna will make arrangement to perhaps change that or take it away. Take it away. Therefore, he is known as Hari, he who takes away. Of course, that means to take away material desire, but it also can mean material facilities. So many people, especially in India, prefer to worship the demigods because they know that about the Supreme Personality of God, that Krishna can give, but Krishna can also take away if he sees it's detrimental to your advancement on the path of devotional service. But he can give you so much. And we see with Prabhupada that he gave Prabhupada, but of course we see with Prabhupada a little bit of a in the beginning he didn't have much, and then Krishna gave him so much. A little bit different situation with Prabhupada. He was to my mind, showing how a pure devotee acts in any circumstance. And that should be our mentality also. So A devotee should be satisfied with whatever Krishna gives. If Krishna, and in one place Prabhupada says, a Vaishnava is someone who is satisfied just chanting Hare Krishna, and if there's some service to do, he's very happy to do it. So that's the difference between a devotee and a materialist. A devotee is very easily satisfied, whereas materialists are so hard to please them. You can give them riches and riches and riches. You know, in fact, I read one article that, in that article, there was a survey done of the rich people, super mega rich people in the world, over many countries. And they asked many questions, and one question, and at the end they said, what is the thing that rich people want the most? What do you think it is?
Money.
More money. More money. This was a survey done of rich people. What do rich people want the most? They've got everything. These are super rich people, mega rich. What do they want? More money. What haven't they got? Some people, you know, we're struggling, or someone's struggling, just earning a living, you know, whatever it is. And then they look at the rich people, and they're thinking, well, haven't they got enough? They got 20 million, 50, 100 million, 1 billion, 10 billion? What does he want? 20 billion, 50 billion. It's not enough. And people with power, what do they want the most?
More power.
More power.
Greed.
So, this is, the Kamis are thinking. So they're never satisfied. They're never still bhakti siddhanta saraswati taku, he says. Some people think, he says, some people think that now I'll just engage in materialistic activity later on in life when I get old. Then I'll take up the spiritual path. You know, first of all I have to be satisfied in my material, then I'll take up. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he says that when will you be ever satisfied? He says, never. You'll think, first of all, I'll become satisfied. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, when will you? He says, never. I was talking to, some time ago, I was talking to a Grihastha godbrother of mine. And he's been married nearly 30 years. And he said that I've done a lot of things in my Grihastha life, and, you know, I've worked hard, got a lot of money. Now, after 30 years, he said, I had more money when I started than I have now. He said, I've grown up, had a lot of money, then I've lost some. Then I've dug myself out and got money again. Then I've lost it again and dug myself out. And then now I'm looking back at the whole thing. He said, I had more money in the beginning. And then I kind of think to myself, why did I ever bother? So the secret, and this is mentioned, Kamani Vadikaraste, Mahapadeshukarachana, that in the Bhagavad Gita, that the secret, you know, you have a right to perform your duties in the world, but you haven't got the right to enjoy the results. Don't be attached. Don't think you to not perform your duties. You have to perform your duties, but and elsewhere in the Shastra it's mentioned you have to perform your duties to the best of your ability, but unattached to the results. This is the way to live in the world. And this goes back to Varnashram Dhamma. You know, you're a Brahmana, you're a Kshatriya, Vaishya. Just work according to your Dhamma, your Svadhamma, and to the best of your ability. And the results, that leave it to Krishna. Leave it to Krishna. Otherwise you'll always be in anxiety. That's the problem in the material world, that the Karmis, they're working very hard. They're working very hard, and they're so attached to the results. They're always in it. Sometimes they're getting what they want, sometimes they don't get. Sometimes they get, they lose. They lose, they get. So they're always totally, their whole life is anxiety. But the devotee just works, or someone situated in Varnashram, just works doing the duty to the best of their ability. Whatever comes, comes. If something comes, haribol. If something doesn't come, haribol. This is a devotee. The devotee is easily satisfied. Whatever Krishna wants to give you, there's one saying, Krishna wants to give you with your two hands, how can you hold it all? If Krishna wants to take away from you, with your two hands, how can you stop him? So you just surrender to Krishna. It's like Draupadi surrendered to Krishna when she was being unveiled in the gambling match. In the assembly. Surrendered to Krishna. He can't provide it unlimited stuff. So this is the secret of success. And the point again here, that by worshipping Krishna, you can get... the demigods can give you these benefits. But after all, they're temporary. And even if you go to the heavenly planets, they are temporary. I was reading about Yudhisthira, at the end of his life, you know, when they were going up the Himalaya, one by one, the Pandava Draupadi fell first, and then, you know, Sahada, and then Nakula, then Arjuna, then Bhima. And Bhima was asking the question, why did Draupadi fall? Why did this one from Yudhisthira was giving the answer? Draupadi felt he was more attached to Arjuna. Sahadeva felt because he was attached to his knowledge, and Nakula felt he was more too attached to his beauty. And Bhima, you've fallen because you ate more than anyone, not caring for anyone else. And then Yudhisthira came, and then finally Indra came and his chariot. You know, and we're ready to take you. And Yudhisthira, there was a dog following. He said, no, can't go, there's dogs taking children. Dog has to come with you. Oh, there are no dogs in there. No, you have to leave the dog behind. No, there's dogs taking children. Finally, the dog revealed himself to be Yamaraj, his father. Then Yudhisthira was taken. And when he went to the heavenly planets, of course, he saw Karna was there with his father, Surya. And he saw Duryodhana in the heavenly joy. And he was a bit aghast. What he's put us through, you know, Duryodhana, an incarnation of Kali. What's he doing? And actually, he Yudhisthira was not very attracted to living in the heavenly planets. He wanted to be with Krishna. And later on, it was revealed that he had to have that vision of the hellish planets temporarily. But later on, it was revealed that Arjuna was with Krishna, and Narada Muni came to him and explained that actually. Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni. He asked, how long will we stay here in the heavenly planet? Because Narada Muni said that you will not stay very long because you are eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others like Duryodhana, Karna, Duryodhana, although for whatever he did, he died on the battlefield doing his duty as a Kshatriya, and not only that, in front of Krishna. So therefore, he is in the heavenly planet. And he will stay here a long time. Karna will stay here a long time. But you will not stay, because you will stay just temporarily and you will go with Krishna to his next pastimes. So Yudhisthira was very happy to hear that. He wasn't at all attracted to staying in the heavenly planets. He said, let Duryodhana stay in the heavenly planet. Enjoy. I want to go with Krishna. So who wants to go to the heavenly planets, or who wants to go with Krishna? What's your answer? Sometimes I ask that, a little guru called his kids that. All right, kids, who wants to go to Indraloka? Some of them put me. All right, so, but who wants to go with Krishna or to Indra? Who do you want to go with? They all say, Krishna, do you want to go with Krishna? Anyway, so by studying this history, and here it is mentioned, you have to read it three times. Something about reading something three times, because our memories are so dull. We have to read it three times. I mean, certainly when you repeat something over and over, and at least three times, just like our prayers to the spiritual master, at least three times, isn't it? So here it is said, you should read it three, not only memory, but also there are things that on the first reading you didn't fully understand. The second reading you may perhaps understand a little bit more. The third reading you can understand a little bit more still. So repetition. That's like most of us. We've read this section of Bhagavatam many times. We've read Bhagavad Gita. But we keep reading over and over. And every time you read, you learn something else. So repetition is very good. So to read it and to understand the life of Maharaj Krita. And also I noted his characteristics. That is very important. What are the characteristics of Maharaj Krita? He was a great devotee, pure devotee. This is very, very important. The life. So therefore, the character was good, the life will be good. Generally in the world, generally in the world, people are mad after good birth, good family. Mentioned here, good family. People, they want to have a good family, nice wife, husband, children, nice, everything nice. That's everything to them. Materials, Jain Maishra and money, Jain Maishra Shuta and Shuta, education. These are very prestigious. This is called prestige. If you have these things, high family. If you have these things in the world, you have a lot of prestige. High family, a lot of money, prestige. Education, B-A-M-A-P-A, prestige. All these things are prestige. So, but now, these are things that the materialists are now. Now, Prabhupada mentions here, at the end, that if one worships Krishna, if one has no children, he will have children. And I remember there was a god brother of mine. He was married to a god sister of mine, and they couldn't have children. they went to the doctors, and they said, "No, you can't have children." But they were praying to Krishna, and after 10 years, they had a child. Doctors told them, "No, can't have it." Then they had it. So anyway, here it is said that you can have many children, so many children. And Prabhupada says here, education, wealth, beauty, sriddhi, beauty, these things, strength, bodily health, all the things that are needed in the world. Everything complete, he says. Everything complete. But of course, devotees, we use these things in Krishna service. Generally, these things for a karma, you become very puffed up. You have wealth. You got a lot of money, puffed up. You have a high family, you come from a high family, puffed up. You know, you have a good high education, puffed up. Beauty, very handsome, beautiful, puffed up. You have a few of these things together, really puffed up. But a devotee can have these things, remain humble, because he's a devotee. Because of good character. Now, Prabhupada says elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, for example, he says, high education and bad character go ill together. Remember that? He says, they go ill together. If your character, you've got a high, you may have two or three PhDs, but if your character's obnoxious, who wants to associate with you? Even the karmis don't want to associate, speaking of devotees. Your character. Now, I would go further. Prabhupada says about education, but if you've got beauty, if you're very handsome, or you're very beautiful, but your character's obnoxious, who wants to associate with you? Or if you've got, wealth, a lot of money. If you've got a lot of money, but your character's obnoxious, who wants it? So character is very, very important. So therefore, it is emphasized to study the character of Maharaj Prabhu. He had character, his life, everything about Maharaj Prithi, his wife, Queen Archie, all were very high, pure devotees at the end of their life. So we can see right from the very beginning when Maharaj Prithi appeared and his wife appeared, after King Vaina, that whole episode with King Vaina, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And then he appeared and Lord Brahma came over and they could see why he had all these symbols, markings on his hands, and they knew, oh, this is incarnation, some sort of incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So right from the very beginning of his life, his appearance in the world, and of course it is said he is Shakti Vishavata, he is Nitya Mukta, he is eternally liberated. He came from the Vaikuntha to the world, specific reason. His whole life was exemplary. The end of his life, the way he left this world, was exemplary. So anyone who hears this story, all things will be very auspicious for such a person, materially and spiritually. So we have to try to follow in the footsteps of such great devotees as Maharaj Prithu, Queen Archie. And if we can just emulate just a few of these qualities, then our path of advancement in devotional service is assured. Hare Krishna. I'll read this verse again. If anyone has questions, comments, we're a little over time. We don't take hands. I tried to keep it right up. Sri Bhagavad Arkanya Naro Narya Tabad Vita Apaja Supaja Pano Nirdano Dhanavatana. It does not matter whether one is a man or woman. Anyone who, with great respect, hears this narration of Maharaj Pindu will become the father of many children. He is without children, will become the richest of men. He is without money. Any questions? Comments?
Prabhupada emphasizes the comments a lot on demigod worship, and it's a theme obviously through the whole time. But considering that he would be preaching to a Western audience, which had no background in demigod worship, is it a wonder why he would emphasize that so strongly? And is that just because that's the tradition and that's the way of the acharyas? That he emphasizes the process of not that he emphasizes it, but he, you know, it's just a common thing in his presentation. And in consideration of the fact that his audience would have absolutely no even knowledge of the demigods. Why do you think Prabhupada?
Well, it's not that just Westerners are reading his books. Prabhupada wrote his books for future generations and generations. There are many people who are aware of demigod worship. And, you know, I think you're right. It is a tradition of the acharyas that Prabhupada was writing his purports, and seeing what the commentaries of the different acharyas were, so he incorporated that and had his own realization. So certainly, therefore it's mixed. You say that this is emphasized, but Prabhupada presents it in such a way that these things are mentioned, but he also presents his purports in such a way that Westerners can understand. And in the future, I think these things need to be noted, demigod worship, because in the Western countries, there's a lot of people who, even Westerners now, who are taking up this type of thing. So Prabhupada, especially amongst the Indians, there's a lot of demigod worship, so certainly Prabhupada has to present it in this way. I remember in Auckland one year, Prabhupada gave a lecture at the Gandhi Hall. And it was at the end of the lecture, one Indian gentleman said that he said, Divine Grace, in our Hindu religion, he said, in our Hindu religion, there are many devas. So what do you have to say about that? That's the way he put it. He didn't elaborate much. He said, what do you have to say about that? And Prabhupada just said, he answered very simply. He said, oh, they are of this world. He said, I'm speaking of someone who is beyond this world. That's it, that was it. Everyone was satisfied by that answer. I'm speaking of someone who is beyond this world. So that's my understanding. And you were going to say something else on that last point? Of the
Anyone who reads Prabhupada's books is going to find out about the devas. Mm. I mean, before, when one reads Prabhupada's books, one might not know about Vishnu or Krishna either. To speak of the devas.
Ah.
But it's expected that after reading the books you're going to find out about all these things.
Yeah. And they need to find out about these things. Yeah. So in the beginning a Westerner may not know, but he's finding out, that's a good point. And he's finding out about Krishna, he's finding out about incarnation, so he needs to know about the devas. And if he needs, and actually, now that you mention it, that there are Westerners who don't know anything previously, and then they read. And then they read about the devas, and they also start worshipping the devas similarly. And Prabhupada very much Prabhupada, as if he knew beforehand, he very much emphasized Radha Krishna worship, and as opposed to deva worship. But he mentioned the devas. So they're going to have to find out about it, and when they find out about it, Prabhupada has to explain it properly so that when they do find out about it, they know what the position is.
Yeah, good point. No, it's not that. We don't worship the devas you're not worshiping someone. You're going to worship whoever you think is the best. That, so if you don't worship the Davis, you'll worship, you know,
some man in the world,
Bill Gates or something like that. But everyone according to their mode of nature is going to worship someone.
Exactly.
Therefore, if one gets elevated even by the process of devotional service, then there'll be a tendency to try to want to worship someone higher. So the next stage is you're probably going to look at the demigods as worshipable.
So Prabhupada has to, you know, present Srimad Bhagavatam comprehensively, and all the points of philosophy have to be explained thoroughly. I think that's what we have to understand. Yes.
In the Mahabharata, Arjuna worships Durga just before the battle of Kurukshetra begins. Then he hears the battle of Gita. And the Pandavas win the battle of Kurukshetra. Is it that as a person of Vedic culture, Arjuna would have still worshipped the Devas but understood that Krishna is supreme? Or did he stop worshipping the Devas completely? And what should be our understanding?
No, you see also Krishna. Every morning he woke up and he had his daily schedule, and he would go to the temples of the Devas. And the culture was there were many temples of the Devas, but it's a question of how you see the Devas as representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you have to show respect. You can't disrespect the Devas. That's being offensive. So you offer your respects to the Devas, but you have to understand properly their position. The problem is when you worship the Devas, not understanding their position. And then you minimize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as devotees, yes, we respect the Devas, but we're not going to set up temples where we have worship of the Devas going on. The Prabhupada, he wanted exclusive worship of Radha, Krishna, Gauri, Tanya, and everything like that. He never told us to set up a temple for the Devas. When I travel around India, sometimes I see different sampradayas. Something in the three sampradayas, so one temple they had Lord Shiva, a little temple of Lord Shiva out the front of the, and the temple was like Lakshmi Narayan. The temple was, but they had a little temple of Lord Shiva. But we were talking to the pujaris and said, "Now what we do is we offer the prasad of the bhoga to Lakshmi Narayan, and then when the Lord's finished eating that prasad, and we take that prasad and offer that prasad to Lord Shiva." As prasadam of Lakshmi Narayan. And Lord Shiva is very happy because he's getting the prasadam of Lakshmi Narayan. So our mood is like that. That's a proper Vaishnava mood. I mean, Prabhupada never instructed us to have a temple of Lord Shiva as such. But anyway, that's a pradaya that they do it. You see?
Even the devotees do that.
Did they do it?
Yeah, deep calls. All around Vrajana, all around Vrindavan, he's established temples of the big halls of Lord Shiva, protected down.
I think it is kind of a thing we go in that direction.
We have the finger
there. The finger there. Any other questions? Jai Guru Prabhupada ki, Jai Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Jai Gaur Family.